let's pray. Father, Lord, as we thank you for this time that we could be in your house, Lord, we thank you for your watch care of us as we slept. We thank you for your traveling mercy as we drove to church. Lord, I just pray that you be with those that are still coming. Just help them to get here safely. Be with those that are ill. Father, just rise them up again so that they can be back in services with us. And Lord, we just pray for all the teachers. Help us, Lord, to impart your words, Lord, and not ours. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so John 13:35 is our memory verse. By this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I had this all this morning. John 13:35. By this ye shall know. If ye have love one to another. Tanya got it.
It did feel like a tongue twister.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another.
There you go.
Oh, I got it. I was like, I knew I had it. It's like, why can't I say it?
I'll see if I can say it.
Okay, go.
John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another.
There you
John
go.
13:35.
There we go. Alrighty. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Want to give it a try?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay. Oh, come on.
It's in the Bible.
Give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll try it.
Okay.
John 13:35.
Mm-hmm.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that you...
No, if you...
If you have love one to another.
Very good. All right. Where's my pencil? Okay, so in chapter 4, or lesson 4, I should say, is where we are. Lesson 4. We started this last week just finding out what the concordance in the Bible says about love and why it's the first one in the fruit of the Spirit. Because all of the rest of them go down from that. Love is the one that you need to have the most. It helps you to do all the rest of them. But we're going to break it down even more so and look at, it's not aspects, but it's the way we exhibit love. There's lots of different ways that love is exhibited. And we're commanded to love others, whether we feel like it or not. And that's in 1 John 4, 20 and 21. 1 John 4. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So we really are commanded to love everyone. How we love them is a different matter. But we are to love even our enemies. We are to love them. We're to pray for them. That's the hard one, is to pray for those that are mean to you, that hurt you, that say things against you, that are always, just giving you a hard time all the way around. Our flesh gets in there and wants to say, I don't like you either, or, you know, you say, you know, mean things to them back, and you know you shouldn't, and but the hard part is just, you know, taking what they say, not responding, but pray for them that somehow in your either soft answer that you say to them or your way you exhibit and you don't get angry when they're mean is showing them Christ in just, you know, one aspect of, you know, it's just a way of expressing how much Christ did for us if we can control ourselves in, and it's really hard when their people are mean. But it's a choice. It's a choice that we can make. It's a choice that we can choose to be, not react when things are going the wrong way. And when she says something here that I really like, says, when I begin to love others the way Christ loves me, I will begin to understand unconditional love. And yes,
Ms. Katie, I in my work, the co-worker, you know him, Scotty?
Yeah.
On Tuesday, I bring some medicine that I ordered from the Philippines. It worth about $50. That medicine is not in here in the United States. And I was, I went home so early, early about 7:30, because I had to send somebody to my brother. He needed that help. And when I come back on the next day, I said to him, where is my medicine? Because I put it in his car.
Oh, okay.
He knows and who's that, who owned that medicine.
Right.
And he said that he put it in the in the table, but I asked the people who came in that night, and the last time that he saw, that's my partner, pushing cart in that night in all week this week, and I said to him, you should, I'm kinda mad, pissed off, because I cannot find in that medicine in here in the United States.
Right.
I had to make an special that I can order to somebody to bring it back to me.
Right.
And he said he put it in the table, but somebody saw him, that one of the people that worked there, that he's cleaning, he said he saw him that he got in his hands and the bag that I have.
Right.
The Walmart bag. And I see the last day at my working with him, I said, you know, I'm not trying to be mad at you. But you should use your common sense, that you know who's that.
Right, it doesn't belong to you, so you should give it back.
I said, you know what? I said, I love you. I love you very much, because I know you since you were 2 years old. I said, but you have to think about that when they have something in her that
is not yours,
is not belong to you, you should just bring it to your car, and then the next day you give it to me.
Right.
And you know where that come from.
Right.
And I told you in the morning.
Right.
I said, don't take that out in the park, because that's mine.
Right.
It belongs to somebody. I said to him. He said, I didn't know. I said, yes, you know.
Yeah, yes, you did.
I said, I told you in the morning. I said, but I was gonna ask to him. But I said to him, I'm sorry. You give me a hug, and I love you.
Right.
But the thing is, you should know what you.
Right, and that aspect of when you see someone that's doing something wrong, the way you show love to them is going to help them, and it's also going to cause conviction on them. But that's in a couple pages, so we'll hang on to that one. Okay, so. Practicing unconditional love is not always easy. We show it more as mothers. It's basically, they say it's a selfless love. You're putting others first. And that's what Christ did. Christ didn't think of himself. He didn't think of, he was thinking of us when he died on the cross. It wasn't that he was going to get recognition or anything else. Christ did it mainly because he loved mankind and he wanted mankind to have a way to have fellowship with God and him again. And that's why Christ died for us. And so as a mother, we practice unconditional love. And our children will do things to hurt us and cause pain, but we always love them. That doesn't stop. And we may not like what they're doing, but we still love them, and we're going to continue to love them. There's a love that's selfish, self-gratifying, and self-protective. That's the way we love sometimes. It's what I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to love you because you're being nice to me, but once you stop being nice to me, I'm not going to love you anymore. And a lot of it is like conditional about, you know, if you do this for me, then I'm going to love you. And that's all in our flesh, that type of love. It's not coming from the Holy Spirit. It's not coming from a place where we can show Christ to others, that kind of love. And in Christ dying, that total opposite is shown, because he wasn't expecting or wasn't doing it for a selfish reason. And that's like the closest we can come to seeing unconditional love. And just like our memory verse, we show Christ's love when we love one another. And that's the best thing that we can do, is to just continue to exhibit God's love and remind people or explain to people how much that when you were saved, that it was God's love that is holding you up, is keeping you. It's not, he loves us so much and so wonderfully, and even when, in spite of what we do, because we fail him every day, but he still loves us. And that's the message we need to get out to the lost, is because everyone's trying to, well, I have to be better, or I have to turn over another leaf, or I have to, you know, I have to straighten out my life before I can come to Christ. Well, that's never going to happen, because you have no help. You can't do it on your own. You can't give away the things in your life that are bad, and you can't get rid of them without Christ's help. But explaining his love and how much he loved them and wants them to be with him, then sometimes we can get people to understand better, as opposed to, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. You know, that message works for some people, but it doesn't work for everyone. So, is God expecting an impossibility of us when he tells us to demonstrate unconditional love one to another? He's expecting an impossibility?
There are some things that are impossible.
Like what? With God's help. What is an impossible that you can't do?
Oh, no, I think about it and get back to you.
Okay. Because he says all things are possible.
With God.
Yeah, exactly. But what
if it's not something that he's going to help you with, it could be impossible.
Well, if you don't allow him to help you.
Or if he doesn't agree.
If it's not what he wants you to do. Well, yeah. I mean, this is all based on if you're doing God's will. But the question I asked in number 5 here.
Oh, I misread the question.
Is God expecting an utter impossibility of us when he tells us to demonstrate unconditional love toward one another?
Yes.
and that would be a no. Because it didn't say it was easy, but it can happen, okay? But the second part of this is, what will this kind of love involve according to Philippians 2:3-7? Let's go to Philippians and see what that says for us to do. Philippians 2:3-7. Okay, so let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That was one of our memory verses. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 7. Okay, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So, Christ took on the form of a servant. Christ did for others. Christ loved that way, in a with a servant's heart. He should expect no less of us to look at other people. What can I do for you? How can I help you out? What is it that will, you know? And I really think this needs to start in our home more than anywhere else. Because we can be worse. We can treat our family and our, you know, our brothers and sisters, if you have them, spouses, children, we treat them worse than we treat anybody on the planet, and that should be not the case. You know, you wouldn't treat a guest the way you treat your family sometime in your home. And so servitude and being a servant should start at home. And yes, women, we have an easier time with that sometimes. Where we seem like we're always doing for others, but sometimes we have the wrong attitude. It's like, I'm always doing everything for everybody else. And, you know,
I think we kind of confuse, you know, the boundary lines. It's not a concept of, well, you have to do everything and they don't have to do anything. But to be of a service to them, you care about them, you want to see them have what they need.
Exactly.
And if we're, it should be in a light of kindness and grace that you encourage or ask, you know, you need to do this yourself.
Well, right.
Especially like with our kids, you do everything for them. They're not going to know how to do anything when they get older.
Exactly.
They're going to expect somebody, you know, some stranger to magically appear and do things.
Or mom's coming to do it, you know. It's like,
or,
no.
Or worse, yeah, mom's coming to do it. So that's not serving, you know.
Yes.
Doing them a good service.
Exactly.
But, you know, I just think we confuse that sometimes. That we need to do everything. We don't need to do everything, but we need to. What we do, we need to do with a servant's heart, and you know, bring them.
But if everybody in the house, if everybody in the house is doing the same thing, then it tends to, it all balances out, and it's all working. It's when one is doing it to the extent of everyone else, then you end up feeling like you're a martyr. You know, it's like, you know, then it's a wrong attitude, and everything's just wrong. And I've known people that it's like they have this martyr's attitude that it's very hard to explain, but you can see it, and everything that they do, it's like grudgingly. It's like, oh, you know, like, this is my lot, and you know, and I will just do this. And but there's no joy, there's no love, there's nothing that they have peace-wise or anything else that is a benefit to them. So we have a harder time dealing with this concept of unconditional love. And, you know, Christ understands, we know that we're never going to be as self-sacrificing and unconditional as he is, but we can all do better. You know, we can strive for giving that to the point of I don't expect anything back. That's like the key for unconditional love. It's like, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to do for you, and I'm going to give you, and I'm going to help you, regardless of whether you ever help me or not. You know, and it's kind of, we just have to get to that point where we can do this. Now, our big challenge, grading ourselves. We got to go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, or one of them that talks about love the most. And these verses in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, they tell us what, how love is supposed to work, or how it's supposed to be, behave itself. Right. So in verse 4 was where it starts. And charity, that word means love. It doesn't mean giving someone a handout. That's not what that word means. Charity in the Bible here means love. So you can just replace that. You can say, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And then it goes on to other stuff. But we just need 4 through 8 is where we're grading ourselves. So that it breaks it down into each of the little aspects. So the first one, but she gave a little analogy of agape love, and she calls it a give me love. And I thought that was funny. So agape love is God's love, that unconditional love. But we have more, it's called a give me love, which is more a selfish love. What if I do this for you, what am I going to get back? You know, kind of, I got that in the back of my mind. If I help her, then she's going to help me. But I'm still, that's still being selfish. It's still thinking of me first. And so, but agape love is selfless. It doesn't think about what you're going to get out of it. It thinks about others. So that's a difference. So I thought that was funny. Agape and a give me. So, so the first one, it says love is patient, suffereth long, it says. Even when you feel like forcibly expressing yourself. Love bears pain or trials without complaint, shows forbearance under provocation or strain, and is steadfast despite oppositions, difficulties, or adversities. So, yeah, that says a lot in there. And I can't give you a grade. That grade has to be yours. Says my grade. Yeah. And I kind of was like, well, some ways I am good, and some ways I'm not so good. And, you know, yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm not like failing that one, but I'm not like, you know, up here in the A, B part. I'm kind of in the middle. So, yeah, so, but I like the way she says, feel like forcibly expressing yourself. Yeah, sometimes we don't bear long like we're supposed to. And so where do we get this patience to bear long and suffer long with people? The first one is Isaiah 40:31, which is my favorite verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's the... Is there more on that? It's like, what? Or is that how it ends? It's like, all of a sudden now I like forgot the... Oh, I know, it's a song. And then we repeat it. That's why I'm thinking that there's more to say to that verse. But it's, but it's not. So waiting, being patient, but waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we want things now. We want to answer now. We want to see results now. You know, we diet for 3 days and we want to lose 10 pounds. And, you know, everything has to be now because we live in a society where everything is, you know, everything's fast. Everything has to be done right now and right now. And but waiting on the Lord is difficult because sometimes you're wanting an answer and Lord says, not right now. Lord says, wait. And we have to pray some more and the Lord says, wait. But that's an answer. He has answered you, but he says, not now, not at this time. And, you know, don't try to go around the wait in a sense, because there could be danger up ahead if you don't wait when Lord says wait. You know, there could be an obstacle that is very detrimental to what you're, you know, the path that you're on. If Lord knows what's ahead, so if we wait, then that's the best thing for us, because God knows what's ahead and we don't, and we could get ourselves in a whole lot of trouble. Then in Psalm 91, there's another aspect of waiting or being able to suffer long. Psalm 91, where we are. Psalm 91, it's verses 1, 2, and then 14 and 15. So he that dwelleth or remain or abide or stay close to in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Verse 14, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Wow. What a picture that is. That is so beautiful. To know that God is surrounding me with all of his glory. I'm under the shadow of the, I'm being protected. I'm being gathered up, and he's got a fortress around me, and I'm the angels are all encamped around me, and we have that kind of protection as long as we stay in his will and we're not trying to circumnavigate the path that God has set before us. He's going to be with us, and we're going to have this protection all around us as we continue to do what he wants us to do. But we get off the path, then we're not in that anymore. We don't have that being able to be. He always knows where we are. He knows how to direct us back again, but we make the choice to step off the path. We make the choice to not be walking with him. So I really like that verse, those verses in Psalm 91. That's a wonderful picture. And I like this one he said, because he knows my name. He knows my name. God knows your name. God knows how many hair you have on your head. God knows everything about you because he made you. And I have a couple of friends that they're always putting themselves down, or, you know, they don't like certain aspects about themselves. And I keep trying to, you know, it's like I keep reminding them, but God made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows who you are. God loves you. And they're Christian. And it's still, it's like, you've got to get out of the, because that's still, you're not, you're still, it's all about me, because, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not as good as this person, or I don't have this, and blah, 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 and wah, 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 and, you know, and it's just, but that's still a very selfish attitude, because it's still, the focus is all on them, even if it's all negative. You know, and then you have people where it's like, you know, they're God's gift to everybody, and, you know, and, but that's the wrong attitude as well. It's like, we need to humbly know that we are nothing without God, and not make it to be a woe is me type of, you know, it's like, I'm special. God chose me. God made me. God allowed me to be saved because he put people in my path to show me, you know, but I made the choice to accept that or not. And but knowing that God wanted me and he died for me, that's really special. And but you have to keep it in the right perspective, you know. So that's a real, so the next one, so we did the first one. Okay, let's go back to our Corinthians verse so we know what the next one is. What's my time say here? Got 3 minutes. Alrighty. All right, I should have put my marker in here. 13. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay, so we said the first one is love is patient, okay? Then love is kind. And love is patient and is kind. Not that kind, they kind of run together, don't they? Love is patient and kind. Kind of like, not love is patient and love is kind. The way it says it, love is, suffereth long and is kind. So in that suffering long, we have to be kind about it. There we go. Even when you want to retaliate physically, or tear down another person with words. Even though you want to do that. Love is sympathetic, considerate, gentle, and agreeable. Now, agreeable. I thought about agreeable. It all depends on the situation. Because we don't want to be agreeable to sin. In the situation, we don't want to be agreeable to flagrant sin, or, you know, in our being loving and kind. If it's, you know, if it's something, you know, people are, and people can be mean and yell at you and things like that. It, you got to put a stop to when they're cursing and they're, you know, it's like, whoa. Okay, I'm going to say something here in this aspect. I'm not going to, you know, make all of this, you know, I'm not going to just let you get by with this and say, oh, you know, yeah.
I think that means agreeable in a way that, not that you're agreeing with the sin or anything, but that you're not being confrontational with the person, that you're, in your kindness, you're... The way you're treating
exactly.
them
yeah.
is not confrontational,
right?
As opposed to agreeable and agreeing with
you're just going along with what they're
doing. Well, you're dealing with it in a non-confrontational manner.
Yeah, you're trying to be patient. You're still trying to be,
all those things, you know, holding
right. Well, yeah, and not all of your response is argumentative. Like, you know, you do, even though it says you want to retaliate, you want to say something, so we have to kind of get that long-suffering in there, and we have to, you know, think about, okay, it's like, how am I going to say this to them? How am I going to present this? And, you know, it's like, it may take, Lord, guide my tongue, guide my words, give me peace about how to, you know, because sometimes we have to be confrontational, but it's how you're confrontational. You know, are you doing it in the right spirit? Have you prayed about it before you go and confront someone? because you, 'cause then you're just in the flesh and you're not, you know, you're not doing it in the spirit. And so that's also a, some of these things, aspects of this love stuff is not all the best. Or not as easy as we think it is to do. Now, it says, some people are critical and unkind. Why must we be kind to people like them? Yes. And what was our memory verse? It shows that we, exactly. How can we turn around and say to someone, oh, and Jesus loves you, when you've just been, you know, downright ugly and mean to them? But I just want to leave you with one thought, you know? Jesus loves you.
I know.
That's not going to go over really well. It's like, that's not good. No. So, people need to see Christ in us, and we have to love the unlovely. We have to, you know, let certain things roll off our back, and we have to say, okay, Lord, I don't like their attitude. I don't like the way they're talking. They always seem to be mean, and praying for them is difficult. It's not easy to do, but we can do it. So it says, frustration, loneliness, self-pity, indifference, emptiness, hostility, hatred, close-heartedness, resentment, jealousy, all grow like wild weeds to fill in the holes of our heart when nobody seems to care. So Satan, if someone feels unloved or they don't feel like they've had a lot of love in their life, Satan's going to give them an alternative. They're going to find love in all of these different ways. But instead of sowing good, they're thinking that they're being loved, like people that join a gang. They just want to be part of a family because they've never had any kind of attachments. So they gravitate toward gangs, or they gravitate to the wrong men in their life, or they gravitate to, you know, sin, other, you know, things, because they want a sense of belonging. But then Satan, in his ugliness, he sowed, they're still discontent. There's no happiness. These people are not happy, even though they feel like they're all part of a family. They're not happy. And like weeds that grow, you know, there's bitterness, and they're always angry. I mean, you see them, it's like nobody's ever happy, you know. And all they're thinking about is doing harm to someone else, you know, and you're not like us, so you have to be the enemy. And so it just, all these seeds of bitterness just root. So if hatred and bitterness and things like that, if you've not been able to give those over to the Lord, if those are in your heart, be careful, because Satan will, he'll let those weeds fester, and those weeds will grow like crazy, and they'll take over a heart that has love and has compassion in it if you allow them to take root. And just like our weeds here in Arizona, if you let them take root, they're going to multiply. So we need to close, ladies, with, so we're at number four, which is in verse, we're still in verse four, but we're in number four. So let us continue on with that, and we will move on next week. We're going to have the bigger group next week, because it'll be the last of the month. So we'll probably be doing an overview and that kind of stuff, because I know I don't have books for, I've ordered no books, but.